Of course, I haven't commented much yet on verse 19 of that passage. That will be in the second part of the lesson, especially the fact that the demons or devils believe and tremble. Why should they tremble? And that has lesson for us. We look on the subject of demons because it is spoken about a lot in the Bible. The King James translation may translate it devils, pluralize, or demons. Jesus Christ encountered demons in his ministry. The apostles were given power to cast out demons. So it is a subject that you will come upon now and again. Either people will ask, who are demons, or what is demon? Are they present in the world today in which we live? Or were they just in the time of Jesus Christ in the first century? So it is important that we at least acquaint ourselves that the subject is one that the Bible has dealt with extensively, especially in the New Testament. I'm not promising that in this lesson I will say all that I have prepared to say. Neither am I promising that at the end of the lesson you will know all there is to know on this subject. I promise that you will know more about the subject if you have not probably studied much on it than you previously knew. Back to the passage of James chapter 2 and verse 19. The passage really belongs to the second part of the lesson coming up Sunday, if God is willing. But could somebody read that passage for us?
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
The demons, remember appropriately, is demons. The demons from this passage believe so strongly that there is one God, that this truth believed by the demons made them shudder with fear. But as strong as their faith or belief is in the one true God, James tells us that their faith or belief is profitless. And we must, as Christians, we must keep in mind that again, our belief or our faith must carry something with it for it to do us good. Any faith which does not express itself in humble obedience to Jesus' will, that faith is profitless. Any faith that does not lead the person who possesses that faith to humbly submit him or herself to Jesus Christ, that faith is profitless. Demons. Who are the demons of whom James write, and of whom many of the writers of the New Testament mention? Who are they? Where do they come from? Our word demons, of course, let me back up. There's about 3 words that are translated demons or devils in the Bible. The word from which our word demon is translated, well, really the word is transliterated, because in Greek it is diamon. In English, it is demon. So it's almost transliterated. In other words, the pronunciation is brought over from Greek into English. Now, the word demon is used in different ways in the Bible. And we will look at that first. We're just going to look in some passages where the word demon is used, and the different shades of meaning that it carries. The word demon is used referring to idols. That is, in the practice of idolatry. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17 and verse 18. Could you read for me, Brother Micah?
Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoic encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
May I? A setter forth of strange
gods.
That's daimon, diamon, demon. This very same word that is used other places. So that is one of the places. In other words, it's not the word theos. The word that you'd expect there for God is theos. And that, of course, is transliteration of the Greek. And that's not the word used there. That is the word from where we get theology, a study of God. It's not the word used there in the term set forth a strange God. That is one of the places. So it is used referring to idol, the word demons. The word is used referring to angels which did not keep their first estate. Matthew 25:41 and Revelation 12:9-12. Let us hear it.
Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
The devil here is demon. So may we note here, because what I'm doing is just reading, having some passages read to help us see how the word is used. But what is noticed here, and it must be kept in mind, hell was prepared in the first place for Satan and his followers. That's right. Hell is not an event or a place that was prepared so much for human beings. The implication here is that hell was prepared from before man was created. Because the angel fell from their first estate before man was around. And the passage under consideration here indicates that hell was prepared for the devil and his angel. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and verse 12.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
The word devil, verse 12 also.
Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because...
Devils, again, the very same word that we read other places, translated demon. So the word demon is translated using the Bible, referring to the angels which did not keep their first estate. The word demon is also used referring to ministers of Satan. Look at Luke chapter 4 verse 35 and John chapter 10 verse 21. Luke 4:35, John 10:21.
And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not.
You see, when the demons came out of him, and this is an interesting passage for another statement that I'll be making further on over the next 15-20 minutes in respect to this lesson. So here we see the word demon is used referring to those who serve Satan, who are ministers, who carry out Satan's bidding. That was Luke 4 and verse 35, John 10:21.
Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You see, and this of course is a rebuttal against those who did not want to credit the divinity of Christ, that Christ was in fact healing men and women by the power of God that was operating in him. Those who responded here in verse 21, they were reasoning correctly. The word demon is used also referring to Satan, who is the prince of the demons. Matthew 9:34, Mark 3:22, Luke 11:15. I repeat, the word that James used, demon, in addition to the other three usages, it is used also referring to Satan himself, who is the prince of the demons. Let us hear it in Matthew 9:34, Mark 3:22.
But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils.
He cast out devils through the prince of the devils. That's verse
34.
Mark 3, 22.
And, the scribes,
and you may also read Luke 11, 15.
And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the great and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils.
Okay, the prince of the devil is referring to Satan. By that power he cast out demons. Luke 11:15 would be expressing the same truth in effect.
But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So here we see some four or five different usages of the word demon. Now, let us look on briefly the work and the manifestation of demons. That is, what can they do? What did they do? That is, as far as the New Testament is concerned. In the New Testament, we notice that demons, or devils, if you may, were engaged in the following actions. In fact, I probably need to make this statement at this point. There is the allegation that the teaching about demons in the Bible or demon possession was a popular superstition without any basis of fact, and that it cannot hold true. There is that thing out there where some believe that the teaching, what we hear about demons in the Bible, and it was just superstition, it was not a reality. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ dealt with and confronted demonic reality as a reality. In fact, I'll be looking at that in a few minutes briefly, because most likely that will be the last point we look at. Okay, the activities of demons, or at least some of their activities, are seen in the New Testament. Demons were able to enter individuals and, as the Bible terms it, vex them. I repeat, one of the activities, one of the engagements of demons in the Bible, demons with whom Jesus Christ, should I use the word interact, or who Jesus Christ confronted, they were able to enter human being and vex that human being or those human beings. Look at the passage of Luke 8. 30 and 33. Luke 8, 30 and 33.
And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him.
Mm-hmm.
And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swines feeding on the mountain. And
what you're reading, verse 30.
I'm at 32 now.
While I'm assuming Brother read that, quite a lot of us have read that passage, but sometimes we take too much for granted. Bring me into either your Michael a few verses that would give, you know, sort of backup, bring context into consideration.
And they arrived at the country of Gerasene, which is over against Galilee.
Uh-huh.
And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of a city a certain man,
uh-huh,
which had devils long time.
Have been what?
Which had devils long time.
So here a man that was demon possessed. Read on.
And
he was demon possessed a long time. Remember what I've said, that we have noticed in the New Testament, what we are looking on is the works, the manifestation of demons. What did they do? I pointed out that they were able to enter individual and vex their soul. Pick up from where you...
And wear no clothes.
He wear no clothes. He was naked.
Neither abode in any house.
Neither did he live in any house. He roamed the place. Read on.
But in the tombs.
Uh-huh.
When he saw
Jesus. But somebody would say, Brother Mitchell, this is a dopey. No. This is... I may just drop on here too again. I know I've made this statement here recently. When a person dies, there is but one resurrection. And Christian, this is what the Bible teaches. And God shall not be wrong. Jesus Christ doesn't guess. When any of us die, any man, however good, however wicked, nothing about that person comes from the grave to roam the earth and interfere with anybody. Nobody can set a dead person's spirit on you.